Well, it is hump day, yes. But it's October, and you know what October means. It means October baseball. Playoff baseball is upon us, gentlemen. That glorious, magical time of the year where the leaves turn colors, Alex Rodriguez disappears, and we never have to worry about the Mets again. Playoff baseball is here. And we actually had the first playoff game last night, and we're gonna lead off talking about that game because we have a special guest with us here for the first segment, Assistant Sports Director here at 90.7 The Capstone. Baker Lehman has dropped by. Baker is a big fan of all things Cincinnati,
yes,
which means he was a big fan of all things crying last night. I'm assuming you sat up and watched The Notebook and ate a big tub of ice cream after the game.
Rocky Road, man.
Rocky Road. All right, Baker, just first gut reaction that's not going to get us kicked off the radio. The game last night, it did not go well for the Reds, really, from the beginning, obviously. The Buccaneers, the Pirates jumped out to a big lead.
You know, the first thing I thought when I about the second inning, when, you know, Cueto led in the first home run to Marlon Byrd, then shortly after was another home run to the catcher
Russell Martin.
And the first thing I thought was, I put on Twitter hashtag fire Dusty. I would like to think I started that hashtag, and so we'll see if I actually did. But it was trending. It was trending all throughout the night. So as far as in my mind, I was the first one to it. But you know, the first thing I want to say is about the one game play-in. You're not in the playoffs yet. If you're in the one game play-in, you're playing that one, that 163rd, or tonight in the Rays' case, your 164th game to get into the real playoffs. It is a playoff game because obviously it's a one game playoff, but you're not in October yet. You're not part of the playoffs. You're still trying to get there to play the number one seed. That's just my general opinion on that. But
that's fair. I can buy that as a Braves fan from last year.
Yeah, I
agree.
You know, they gave them the patches on the jerseys already. Doesn't that mean you're in the postseason if you have the patches on your jersey?
It's a feel good thing. It's a hey, you guys are almost there kind of thing.
This game sponsored by Upward Basketball.
Go ahead. You know, I was upset. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big Reds fan. I'm a pretty hardcore Reds fan. I know I've said this before. My mother raised me as a big time Reds fan. She's missed one Reds opening day since she was in third grade. So I'm a pretty big baseball guy, without a doubt. But you know, I wasn't as mad as I probably should be. I know last year all my Braves fans friends were pouting about. I know Crawford was too, pouting about the one game play and lost to the Cardinals.
He still is.
And you know, I walked away from it saying, you know, I'm not that mad. And the simple reason is I want Dusty Baker fired. I really do, and I think he's done a terrible job with this pitching staff. I think starting Johnny Cueto last night was a mistake. Yes, Matt Latos was out, and starting next season, Johnny Cueto will reassert himself as the number one on the Cincinnati Reds. But for right now, he made about 10 starts this year. He had two good starts against, I believe, the Mets, and then against the Astros. And Astros, at least, do not really count as a good start because the Astros are simply a bottom feeder, and the Mets did a lot better by the end of the season, but still we're below 500 club. Sorry, Maggie. I don't count those are things that, okay, he can be part of the playoff rotation or come out of the bullpen to do some long relieving, but he just shouldn't have been a starter in a high-pressure situation. It should have been a Bronson Arroyo, who's been there time and time before. It should have been a Homer Bailey, who pitched very well at the end of the season and last year in the playoffs. Even a Mike Leake, who had a career season this year. One of those three, I think. Or even a Tony Cingrani, who had finally come back off of his own back injury. Just one of those guys should have been the guy in that game.
So and basically anybody.
Yeah,
but Johnny Cueto.
Johnny, like I said, Johnny's the guy next season. He is the undisputed number one. But for the most part, it's just not a situation that as a manager I would have put him in. And Dusty Baker did this 2 years ago. Edison Volquez did not have a good season. Season coming off Tommy John. He'd back. He had a couple nice starts, but nothing really super special. And Dusty says, well, we're going to now all-star Travis Wood, who was traded to the Cubs. Travis Wood was having a nice end of the season, almost threw a perfect game at one point or another. And Dusty said, well, I'm going to start Edison Volquez and make Travis Wood our long reliever. And sure enough, Edison Volquez gives up, just like Johnny Cueto, 3 runs in 2 innings.
Now, one thing I would like to point out, Baker, Dusty did a great job of making sure that his bullpen was rested for the offseason.
Yes.
I think we can all agree with that. But where do the Reds go from here? I know there are a bunch of guys that are potentially up for arbitration or free agency for the Reds. Obviously, you have made no secret that you want Dusty Baker fired as well. But there's a lot of talent and potential still on that Reds team. It's not like this was a waste of a season.
Absolutely. And obviously still a postseason team, a 90-win team who had a good year, an inconsistent year. And I can think back to multiple times where, you know, I was screaming at the TV, mostly at Dusty Baker for making a bad pitching call. But or a bad pinch hitting call, something like there, or a bunting. And the Reds have been, you know, really notoriously attacked by sports writers for the Dusty Baker's bunting habits. But for me, it's a lot of people. Boris right now is asking for $100 million for Shin-Soo Choo. I don't think Shin-Soo Choo is worth $100 million to anyone. Someone is gonna, as good as he had a year this year. And yes, I want him in a Reds uniform. And I say, you give him not necessarily close. You give him a large sum of money, and you do what it takes to get Shin-Soo Choo to stay in Cincinnati after having a huge year for the Reds. Something the Reds have not had, and at least as long as I can remember, that is a consistent leadoff hitter who gets on base. He lived on base. He was third or second in the NL in on-base percentage. Did a great job base running. Did a great job in the field, playing a position he never played. The Reds need Choo in a uniform because, as good as Billy Hamilton was at the end of this season, I don't know if he's gonna, I don't know if he's gonna bat 350, 370 from the leadoff position for an entire season. I doubt he's gonna have a Puig kind of year where he's doing that. And then the other thing is, your whole offseason and spring training should be built around Billy Hamilton being ready to be not only on baseball all the time, but in the lineup all the time. And he did a bang up job at the end of the year doing that, and only had one, was only picked off once trying to steal a base. 13 for 14, and your 1-2-3 matchup need to be some form of Choo and Hamilton and then Votto as your top three lineup for your batting.
All right, well, interesting that you brought up Votto. I've just got one last question for you here before we'll let you get off back to your morning period. Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, Jay Bruce each had four plate appearances and ended up with one hit between the four of them. One hit and no walks between the four of them. In a huge game like this, I don't know if you saw Brandon Phillips' comments last night where he essentially said the team choked. Would you, yes or no, Brandon Phillips, Joey Votto, Jay Bruce choked, bottom line? That's a harsh word, but yes or no?
I can't say, yeah, I can't say no. But for the most part, you know, I like the stats show that Liriano had owned those three all season. And choking might not be the right word. It's just that Liriano knew what to do. I mean, I watched at least two of Jay Bruce's at-bats, and, you know, Liriano just knows exactly where to throw it to make Jay Bruce swing. And that's the problem with Jay Bruce has been the peaks are really, really high, and the valleys are really, really low. But he had a 30 home run, you know, 109 RBI season. But and then Brandon Phillips slowed down. He kind of got an ankle injury earlier in the season, or earlier in the second half, and then re-aggravated it in the last series against the Pirates to end the season. I think that had something to do with it. They had some errors in the game, but yeah, for the most part, they did choke. And at the same time, as for the case of Votto, Votto didn't swing at the ball all year. Obviously, still bad 300, but he led the world in walks with 135 walks. He lived on base first in the NL and on base percentage, but only had 70-some RBIs, 20, I think 25 or 27 home runs. The simple fact is when you're paying Joey Votto what he's being paid, he needs to be swinging more at the bat. Obviously not at bad pitches. He has such a good eye, but he needs to be, I'm not going to say, he needs to be having similar, him and Goldschmidt should have been in some kind of race for that NL and McCutcheon, obviously, as well, for the NL MVP crown because of what Votto was doing. But the simple fact is Votto didn't put up, you know, pretty stat numbers. He put up other amazing stat line numbers that no one's really going to look at. And for the most part, down the line, I think it hurt the Reds.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Baker. Thank you for thanks for dropping by and giving your 2 cents on the whole game last night. We really appreciate that. Of course, the final score of that game was the Pirates 6, the Reds 2. Guys, let's move on and just let's briefly give y'all's thoughts on the game real quick. Christian and
have
Brett,
we received confirmation that Russell Martin's home runs have landed yet? Or are they?
I don't think
so. Do we know
so
for sure that they've landed?
Well, we know Shin-Soo Choo did.
That's true.
There's no doubt. All right.
We saw that one.
Even reviewed it.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, wow, that was a big hit.
Just from the perspective of a Mets fan, I'd like to say I got somewhat of a little bit of gratification last night watching Marlon Byrd hit a home run. You know, nice to know that the Mets sort of contributed to a playoff game in some way, seeing as how we're quite far from actually doing that tangibly. So, you know, I can pull for the Pirates a little bit here, see Marlon Byrd and John Buck, you know, like to see them succeed. So it was nice to see.
It's about as close as the Mets have come to succeeding in a playoff game.
You're welcome,
game in a
Pirates.
While, isn't
you're
it?
Welcome. It's all Martin us. It's all us.
That's quite it.
Someone who once played for the Mets hit a home run in the playoffs. So technically, that home run belongs to the Mets.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what Mets fans are going to claim. And I saw him around second base. It was Byrd. I was like, oh, of course. Yeah,
you know,
Marlon
this
Byrd.
This was Marlon Byrd's first postseason appearance. That was his first postseason at bat. And he is actually the oldest man to hit a home run in his first ever postseason at bat.
Good
so,
for him.
I guess congratulations to Marlon Byrd there. If you're a Pirates fan, if you're a Reds fan, as Baker so gracefully pointed out just a moment ago, you would have preferred him not do that. Well, we're going to go to break here in just a moment, but when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the game tonight, the American League wild card play-in, sort of playoffs, not so playoffs game between the Rays and the Indians. We'll see if there are actually going to be any fans there tonight. Later on, we'll have a little up-to-date deal on the prediction game that we've been doing. Brett, the news is very, very sad for you. And then we're going to say our goodbyes and good riddances to the regular season, things that we are absolutely sick of that we won't have to deal again thanks to this regular season being over. It is 16 minutes after the hour. We'll see you in just a few minutes. I got so brave, drink in hand, lost my discretion. It's not what I'm used to, just wanna try you on. I'm curious for you, caught my attention. I kissed a girl, I liked it, the taste of her cherry.
McCarron. Deep left side, got a man open, got the touchdown, Amari Cooper!
Call in and give us your take at 205-348-9070. This is WVUA Sports.
Hospice of West Alabama reminds us that every year during the holidays, blood supplies throughout the area have become dangerously low, possibly endangering lives. So if you've donated blood in the past, or even have considered becoming a donor, please don't keep putting it off. Make an appointment now and give blood by calling 750-8999. This important reminder has been made possible by Hospice of West Alabama, on the air because they care. That's Hospice of West Alabama, urging everyone to give blood today by calling 750-8999 for the donation center nearest you.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand
Welcome back to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. You are listening to Crawford, Brett, Christian, and Maggie on your radio every Wednesday from 5 to 6, breaking down baseball, life, and just a variety of things, guys, whatever really comes
to mind. Also, during
the
break, we received notification Russell Martin's home runs have landed.
Yes. They have.
Near Reading.
They have landed.
Yeah, they have landed.
Somewhere deep in the fields of Pennsylvania. Yes. Maybe somewhere near Amish country.
Maybe.
I think a baseball would probably do damage to an Amish horse and buggy.
Yes.
I don't know.
Especially the way Russell Martin was hitting them last night.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, guys. Well, let's move on from the past and what has happened yesterday, and let's talk about today a little bit. In fact, the game that's going to happen at 8:07 Eastern time tonight. That's 7:07 Central time here in this area. Let's talk about the Rays visiting the Cleveland Indians for the chance to play in the American League Division Series, guys. So the Rays and the Indians, I thought this was interesting to kind of start the discussion. They played six times in the regular season. Let me give you these six scores and let me see what stands out to you. All right. April 5th, they played. The Rays won 4-0. April 6th, they played. Rays won 6-0. April 7th, they played. Indians won 13-0. May 31st, they played. The Rays won 9-2. June 1st, they played. The Indians won 5-0. And June 2nd, they played. The Rays won 11-3. So the Rays won the regular series, the regular season series, 4-2 over the Indians. Did anything stand out particularly about the margin of victory in those games?
Pretty big.
It's unbelievable. At the biggest margin of victory, the Indians beat the Rays at 13-0. The smallest one was 4-0. So there were multiple games that were, of the six games, most of them were 5, 6, 7, 8 run wins. So history points to this game as potentially being a blowout one way or the other.
Yes.
Both of them stand very strong. You've got Alex Cobb on the hill for the Rays, who we'll talk about in just a second, going up against Danny Salazar for the Indians. They're kind of young, I guess surprising phenom. The Indians didn't really expect him to be as dominant as he has been so far this year. But let's start off on a very basic level. Who do you think is going to win and why, Christian?
Well, I think, like I said earlier, these one-game playoffs, or if you want to call it a playoff play-in, whatever, they're so hard to determine because any team can be better than one team for one game. If it was a series, I would pick Tampa Bay in a series. Right now, I think Cleveland wins based on the last 2 weeks for Cleveland. They haven't lost in what seems like about 12 years.
21-6 in the month of October.
They were lucky about who they played the final 10 games.
No doubt.
But this is a different Indians team right now than the teams that were getting blown out earlier by Tampa Bay in the year. I think Cleveland wins it. However, if it were a series, I'd probably take Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's tough to like go with a different answer there. I totally agree with what you said because I think the Indians are right now the better team, and a lot of those games were way early when Cleveland was still trying to figure out Terry Francona, and even Danny Salazar wasn't even up until July 11th, so he wasn't even on the team. And then the Rays, I think they're kind of going to be tired from playing that 163rd game, so I think the Indians are more prepared right now.
I'm actually going to take the Tampa Bay Rays, and here's why. It's because of who they have on the hill. Alex Cobb in the regular season was 11-3 with a 2.76 ERA and had 134 strikeouts. Now, that's pretty dominant. And you have to remember, too, that he missed almost a month and a half of the regular season because he was playing great. He was arguably the ace of the staff right alongside David Price. And then he got hit in the head in that really, really scary moment for Tampa Bay where it looked as if he was really seriously injured. But came back and all indications were that there's no issues and that he's come back and been pitching as dominantly on the other side of that as he was before the injury. So I'm going to take the Rays because of Alex Cobb, but not just because of Alex Cobb. I'm also taking them because of what David Price did Monday night. You remember David Price threw a 118-pitch complete game, which was very, very important for the Rays bullpen, which has been somewhat overworked coming down this home stretch here. So I really like the Rays. I think that they have the bats that can absolutely – Evan Longoria with one swing could – win a game for the Rays. Arguably, there's no doubt. And obviously, the Indians have some big bats, too. You know, you've always got to be careful of guys like Jason Giambi. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you have to watch out for Jimmy.
But then you also have Nick Swisher.
I feel like it's 2002 right now.
Michael Bourne. They've been hitting the ball out.
They've been hitting the ball very well, too. And I think the Indians are not something to be messed with, for sure. But I just like who the Rays have on the hill. And I love the fact that Evan Longoria, in particular, is a guy with a big bat who's been absolutely crushing right-handed pitchers. And he knows what to do in these kinds of games. You look back a couple of years ago into 2011 on the worst day of my baseball life when the Rays ended up beating the Red Sox and the Braves also managed to lose their massive lead. Longoria is almost single-handedly responsible for the Rays winning that game when he deposited that home run over into left field there in the Trops. So he has been in this pressure-packed situation before. He knows what it's like to play in a win-you-move-on, lose, you go home kind of game. I just like the Rays' experience in this one, frankly.
Yeah, they've been here before. We know over the years. Nothing new for them. Cleveland, though, it is something new, and it's new for the fans and everyone involved. The only saving grace for Cleveland might be that they have Terry Francona there.
Exactly.
Good leadership role for them.
Well, they've had guys that were in
the impact he can have on players, but
they've had guys that have been in that situation, though. They've had World Series champions that are on this team. Nick Swisher won one with the Yankees, and they've
Giambi has multiple championships.
Exactly. So there's guys that have been in the situation. So, but I think it's only this one game playoff that's going to make the difference. That talent wise, I think the Indians have the best overall team, but yes, the Rays have the best player in the entire game in Longoria out of the two teams.
This is going to be a fun one, I think.
Interesting that you mentioned the fans, too, because I know we had this debate and discussion the other day about really the lack of fans for Tampa and Cleveland both. Now, ironically, the baseball gods, I guess, if you want to call it that, have given us a game where Tampa and Cleveland will play each other in Cleveland in obviously the biggest must-win game of the season for either of these two, because if you lose, your season is officially done. How do you see the attendance turning out here? We saw last night in Pittsburgh, attendance was absolutely fantastic. In fact, that game drew a 33.7 television rating, which means 33.7% of every TV in Pittsburgh was tuned to that game. That's an absurdly high number.
Pittsburgh fans wrote the book on how to watch a playoff game last night. I wish every baseball game was like that.
I agree.
But playoff games should be like that. Fans were into it. Fans were chanting. They were with every pitch. Everyone was in black or, you know, whatever color you're supposed to wear. And it was pretty awesome to see.
Well, I know they had a blackout there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, as you heard, the blackout, I thought, was just really impressive to see. The fact that all the fans were able to get unified like that, and you just see them there, and they're presenting a unified front. And it really helps the players, you know, having that home field advantage. Seeing how amped up the fans are, you know, it really puts in their mind, like, I don't want to let them down, you know. And I think that definitely contributed. They're all obviously really excited. The first playoff in quite a while there for the Pirates, so it was cool to see.
Yeah, the first playoff game in Pittsburgh since 1992.
Well, back to the this game in Cleveland. I'm currently wearing a Jabba Chamberlain shirt because if everyone remembers the 2007 playoffs, there was the game that the Yankees and Indians played, and Jabba Chamberlain.
Game sponsored by Off Bug Spray.
Exactly, and so that's all I remember from the last time Cleveland was even in the playoffs was that one game where the bugs came out. If those bugs come out again today, I think there's going to be a lack of fans there. That was just the weirdest playoff game ever.
It's very possible. That was an incredibly bizarre game.
I think it'll be fairly well attended tonight just because people in Cleveland understand this game. They understand the type of game this is, but I don't know. I guess I would not be surprised to see 9,000 there again tonight.
Yeah, and plus Cleveland's at home on Thursday, so tomorrow. So Cleveland's got a home game, the Cleveland Browns, so maybe people are trying to decide which game to go to.
Could be. All right, let's move on before we go to break here to a couple other news stories. Interesting news out of Chicago. The Chicago Cubs obviously fired their manager, Dale Swain, just the other day. And they've now reported that they're interested in hiring Joe Girardi, whose contract has run out with the Yankees this year. The Yankees and Brian Cashman, the general manager, have said, yeah, we'd love to have Girardi back. But now Theo Epstein, of course, former Boston Red Sox general manager, now the manager of the Cubs, the GM of the Cubs, is saying, you know what, I think we wouldn't mind hiring Girardi. Just briefly, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, that last time when Joe Torre moved over to the Dodgers, that they had the same situation, the Yankees and Cubs both were looking for a manager, but Joe Girardi worked with the Yankees broadcast, so he went with the Yankees because he knew the team better. And, of course, we were discussing this before. Let's look at which team you want to go to. The expectations for the Yankees is win a championship every year, and the Cubs is just let's try to build
just
something.
Be kind of competitive every year right
exactly.
now is what the
Cubs. So I think it's a big decision for him, and he pretty much had his best year managing almost since the when he was on the Marlins and got fired for that job because he had to deal with all those other situations with the Yankees. So I don't think it matters which way he goes with it because I think the Yankees team needs to get some things together.
You know instead. Theo's chomping at the bit right now yeah. to even get the chance to talk to Girardi because they're going to be talking big numbers and a lot of money's going to be changing hands potentially.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. And then one last little bit of news. Jim Leland came out today, the manager for the Detroit Tigers, and said that Miguel Cabrera is playing in a lot of pain right now.
You can tell, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tell.
How is that going to affect their postseason play? Obviously, Miguel Cabrera is one of the best hitters in the game.
Well, it means
right
he's
now.
Not going to leg out any doubles right now. Mm-hmm. I think we understand that he won't be doing that. But I think maybe it can affect the psyche of the team that they don't know. They know that their top guy isn't at 100%. That might make them step up a little more. I expect Detroit to be the same Detroit we know.
Yeah, and the tough thing is that offense has somewhat been struggling. They're even putting Johnny Peralta potentially in the outfield. So I'm going to say that they need the offense, and it's going to hurt them overall. For some people picking him to make it to the World Series, it's going to hurt Detroit going forward because you're not going to have him at 100%. So that's probably one of the biggest injuries.
He'll still be able to trot around the bases, and that's all he needs to do anyway.
That's true. I mean, of course, the other thing that'll hurt Detroit is the fact they've got to go through Oakland to mm-hmm. play in the World Series. But mm-hmm. all right, we're going to go to break here for just a few minutes. But when we get back on the other side, we're going to give our goodbyes and good riddances to the regular season. I know we've got a bunch of teams represented here that had pretty awful season, so I'm sure there are going to be some very heartfelt goodbyes and good riddances. When we get back on the other side of that, we're going to talk about possibly the most irrelevant no-hitter in the history of baseball. We'll tell you who it is and who threw it when we turn around on the other side. You're listening to Student Section.